is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
So the title of this morning's message is One Church in a Divided World. One Church in a Divided World. As we were kind of finishing up Revelation here a few weeks back, I began to pray and to seek the Lord and, you know, another series to go into and to be able to share. And as I was seeking the Lord, how to prepare the church of Christ in today's chaotic climate. Would you say it's chaotic today? A lot of confusion out there. The word unity kept coming to my spirit, kept coming to me. Now, the message of unity is nothing new here at the Judah Ministries International Worship Center. Unity is, church unity has always been a burden in my heart. Even back in the 80s, I had assembled a unity service and got a bunch of churches come together, and we were about 30 minutes into the program and a thunderstorm came through and just ruined the whole thing, you know? But how many of you know, though, sometimes we have failures before success? You know, sometimes God's going to say, are you really going to obey me no matter what? Sometimes we have to obey him through the failures. We see this in Judges chapter 20. I'm not going to go down that road here today. But then I moved out of the state for about 7 years. And while I was living in Rochester, New York, the Lord started putting on my heart to have a unity service at Geneva College at the stadium there. And I had to remind the Lord, I said, hey, you know, I don't live in Beaver County anymore. I live in upstate New York, you know. But he wouldn't let it go. And it was in me turning. And through a series of circumstances, I ended up moving back to Beaver County on August 2nd, 1998. We had a unity service at Geneva Stadium. We had, in Beaver County, we had 50 churches come together in one place. I mean, you talk about a miracle. It's hard to get 50 churches together. We had 50 churches. We had a 60-voice choir. We had a full band. We had a brass section. We had dozens and dozens of dancers. It was about 2,500 people that were in attendance. It was just a beautiful day of unity. The oil of the Holy Spirit was poured out in that place. And from that time, nearly 30 years ago, Darla and I had continued to labor and sow seeds of unity in the body of Christ by organizing similar services throughout the Pittsburgh area. And we've even traveled to South Africa in Zimbabwe a few times with our praise team, promoting unity in the spirit and promoting unity in worship even overseas. So I said all that to say, Christian unity is a part of our DNA here. It's a part of our foundation at the Judah Ministries International Worship Center. Now this morning, we need to talk about one church in a divided world. I believe, saints of God, that a spirit of divisiveness has been unleashed throughout this world like never before, and it's not going away anytime soon. As a matter of fact, it's escalating. And the goal of the devil is to divide us politically. He's to divide us racially. He's to divide us over Israel. And even, unfortunately, churches have even become divided on major orthodoxies and major Bible doctrines. Listen, the spirit, this wicked spirit, is rampant throughout the earth today. But we thank God, right? There's messages of correction. There's messages of exhortation. This is an exhortation because we thank God for the unity here at Judah. Come on, somebody in the house. Right? We're old. We're young. We cover the entire melanin spectrum. Come on, somebody in the house. Are you hearing me? Right. It's probably safe to say that we have some Democrats as well as some Republicans in the house. You could say amen or oh me, whatever you want to say in there. But listen, it's who we are. We're not united by anything else but by the blood of Jesus. So now listen, just for the record. I am not a Republican. Somebody say amen. I'm not a Democrat. Somebody say amen. The other half of you could say amen. Oh me, whatever you want to say. But for the record, I am an independent and have been for decades. Now, that does not mean that I don't have positions on political or cultural issues and challenges. I do, as we all should. And I'm happy to speak to anybody privately about these issues. I'm an open book. I'm more than happy to speak to you about everything. Everybody in the world has a worldview. You have opinions about things. However, our positions, and this is important, our positions or our worldviews as followers of Christ should be based on the Word of God, period. It should not be based on a political party. It should not be based on a civil rights activist such as Gandhi or Mandela or Malcolm X or anybody else, even if they have Reverend or Doctor in front of their name and even if they call themselves a Christian. Let me give you a prime example of that. How many of you remember Jim Jones, the Reverend? Y'all remember him? Right back in the 70s. You could go Google him for you younger folk to find out what he did. He led approximately 1,000 people drinking poison. That's where, you know, they drank the Kool-Aid. That saying that people use today, that's where it came from. With about 300 children committed suicide down in Guyana. Listen, he was a reverend in the name of Jesus. So listen, just because somebody has, that doesn't, no. Our standard is the B-I-B-L-E, period. Come on, somebody in the house. So whether the subject is LGBTQ, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's transmania that's ravaging our nation and around the world, whether it's the murder of more than 60 million innocent children through legalized murder, or whether it's immigration policy, or if it's standing with Israel, I can, and we all should be able to defend our positions on these topics and more by the Word of God. We don't defend them by our feelings. We don't defend them by secular political pundits. We don't defend them by some talk show host or some podcaster. Listen, saints of God, let me make this very clear. These are not political issues. I wish somebody would help me with an amen in there somewhere. These are spiritual issues. These are church issues. But the devil will try to tell you that you can't talk about those issues in church because they're political. Well, there's a Greek word for that. You all know it. Baloney. Listen, if you want story hour, you're in the wrong house. If you want story hour, go find Sesame Street somewhere. In the early 1800s, many churches stood by and they didn't want to address slavery because it was a political issue. Most of the pulpits were silent. So let me say this. Slavery was not, is not, and never will be a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's a sin issue. It's a God issue. But thank God that there were some righteous pastors. Thank God there were some prophets who had some backbone and who would stand in the pulpit and hold the politicians' feet to the fire. This was the impetus of the Civil War and freeing the slaves. It came from the pulpit. Come on, somebody in the house. Let me give you a couple of quotes here. Watch this. Throw this up here, Caleb. This is from Edmund Burke. This is from back in the 1700s. He made this statement. He said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, to stand by silently." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, from the next slide, please, Caleb. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this is from World War II in the late 30s, early 40s. He was a pastor in Germany. He said this. He said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Once again, he was a pastor in Germany through World War II, where most of the churches were absolutely silenced. They were, by their silence, they became a part of the Nazi party. So we thank God today that there were enough pastors in the 1800s that had some backbone, that had some chutzpah, that understood Imago Dei, that every human is created in the image of God. We thank God today that there were some pastors that understood that every human had intrinsic value. We thank God that there were enough righteous men in the Union Army that fought to death over 400,000 so that his brother might be set free. We thank God that there was a president that was bold enough to go to war for the sake of righteousness. Come on, somebody in the house. So to all my preacher friends, stop hiding behind the political wall and letting the devil silence you. Get some backbone. Get some chutzpah. Get a spine of steel and stand up and speak out. Just like your predecessors, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses, Peter and John, and as Paul exhorted Pastor Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Stand for righteousness. Call out debauchery in season, out of season, when it's popular or when it's not. Whether you get an amen or an oh me. Whether you fill the pews or you empty the pews, preach the word. So we're talking about unity this morning, and we're unified here at Judah by truth. We're unified by the word of God. We're unified by the Holy Spirit. We're unified by Matthew 28 and 19 when it says to go ye into all the world making disciples and preaching the gospel. We're unified by Matthew 25, 35 where it says when I was hungry you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger you invited us in. We fulfill that calling every Friday at Operation 25, 35. So listen, don't follow the donkey. Don't follow the elephant, follow the lion of the tribe of Judah, somebody in the house. Listen, we are not a perfect church. Somebody, amen. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. Go ahead, you can say amen. None. Nobody's perfect. There was only one perfect shepherd. His name was Jesus, and they crucified him. None of our homes are perfect. Anybody have a perfect home here? Nobody. Every home has its flaws and imperfections. We're no different. But our goal is to strive to make every effort to keep the spirit of unity through the bond of peace, as Paul instructed the church at Ephesus. Listen, it's hard work, somebody, to keep unity. It takes much effort. How many of you know it's not always easy to forgive somebody? Especially when they don't even ask for it. And they continue to offend you. But you're still required. I'm still required to forgive. Well, how many times, Pastor? Seven? No, what'd Jesus say? 70 times seven. Innumerable. We're called to forgive one another, especially in the household of faith. It's not easy, always easy to keep your mouth shut when somebody's getting on your last nerve. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Oh, y'all talking up now. I'm talking about right here in the house of Judah. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Many times when you confront somebody, it's not, listen, what you say, but how you say it. Are you saying it in love? Are you communicating in grace, in mercy, or is anger and frustration spewing out your mouth? We're talking about keeping unity in the house of the Lord. So once again, this message is a message of maintenance, not of correction necessarily, because Judah is a house full of unity. And you will see that when you come to the women's meetings, when you go to our Word Up on Friday evenings, when you come to our back to school program, you will see unity at work. When you visit us on Fridays, Operation 2535, every Friday, you will see unity. When we hold our conferences or jump into international projects, Judah always step up. We work as one in Jesus' name here in the house of Judah. Come on and give yourselves a hand. Hallelujah. So since the pandemic in 2020, somebody got it. Thank you, Yvonne. The pandemic. There has been a spiritual shift. Come on, do you testify to that? There's been a spiritual shift, y'all. The entire world, not only the USA, was turned upside down. Our society today is now in a moral free fall. We're living in the days of Isaiah 5 and 20, when up is down and down is up, right is wrong, wrong is right, boys are girls, girls are boys. Everything is upside down. Truth is now the new hate speech. The exponential rise of hatred and divisiveness is off the chart. It's off the chart. Then on October 7th, 2023 was another tectonic shift when Hamas, basically Iran, you understand that, right? That was Iran that attacked Israel. But they're all crying about Israel fighting back now, but that was Iran that attacked Israel, brutally killed more than 1,200 innocent civilians enjoying themselves at a concert. They also kidnapped and killed and tortured hundreds of others, including babies and Americans, as the world cheered and celebrated the slaughter of the Jews. However, when Israel retaliated, they get accused of genocide and they get called baby killers. Now this wicked Islamic mayor from New York City wants to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu when he travels to the United States in September. Let me ask the mayor this question. Why didn't you condemn October 7th when 1,200 Jews were mercilessly killed? Why didn't you condemn Iran when they mercilessly shot approximately 50,000 of their own citizens just for standing in the street protesting? No, crickets. Listen, saints of God, the world is in total pandemonium. It's in total chaos with anarchy waiting in the wings. So remember, let's keep our eschatological glasses on here for a minute. Let's look through a prophetic eye. Could all of this, what we're watching unfold before us in the world, could this be a preface for the introduction of the Antichrist and the subsequent 7-year tribulation period? I absolutely believe it is. I believe that we're inching closer and closer and closer. It was amazing to see how the world, including most churches, how easily they capitulated to the mandate of the government and closing their doors during COVID. It was around the world. All my friends in Pakistan and Africa, everywhere around the world were closed. If you opened your church, they came and arrested the pastors. It even happened here in the United States, this government closing our doors. But most of the churches, it was like sheep being led to the slaughter. The bad news is, listen, the Antichrist and the 7-year tribulation is coming. That's the bad news. Somebody thank God for good news coming, because the good news is Jesus is coming for his bride before the rapture. Come on, somebody in the house. So I said all that to say that we're living in very precarious times. Even unbelievers sense it. If you watch some of these podcasts or some of these television shows, the unbelievers, they even sense something is stirring throughout the earth like never before. No longer do I believe that we're living in the last days. I believe that we're living in the last minutes, maybe even the last seconds. We are living in the shadows of the return of Jesus Christ. The question is, you know what it is, are you ready? He's coming, saints of God. We got to be like the sons of Issachar, having the ability to discern the time. Listen, my friend, let me encourage you. In the midst of all this chaos, things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place because our God is in control. Come on, somebody put your hands together and thank him. So that was my preamble. Now let me get to my message. We're going to get to a couple scriptures here in a few minutes, but we're talking about one church in a divided world. How many of you know that we need some unity in the world today, including the church, including the church? Psalm 133, my boys probably know this by heart because, you know, we have 3 sons and they didn't always get along. They weren't always sitting around singing Kumbaya together. So over and over, I would say, listen, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Over and over and over and over.
Your name would say, oh, Dad. But then I'd have to repeat myself how good and pleasant it is. When brothers dwell together in unity, it's like the oil being poured down over Aaron, even Aaron's beard down over the hem of his garment. It's there, the Bible says, it's in verse 3, Psalm 133. It's there I command a blessing. So we got to strive for unity. And when we're working in unity, God commands. It's a military term in the Hebrew. He commands a blessing on our household. Hallelujah. So spiritual unity invites the Holy Spirit. Since the word unity can be applied in many different ways, I need to preface this series with a statement right up front so that you don't get any preconceived ideas what I'm talking about here when I'm talking about unity. Throw my slide up there, Caleb. The true church of Jesus Christ will never be in unity with the world. I'm going to say it again. The true church, not these hirelings, not the false church, the true church of Jesus Christ will never be in unity with the world. Because the Bible says, what does light and darkness have in common? What does Christ and Belial, the devil, have in common? Nothing. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't get along with those who we work with or go to school with. We all share society, plus it gives us an opportunity to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. We need to mix and mingle amongst unbelievers, but we're talking about spiritual unity in the church. So the thought of everybody sitting around the campfire throughout the earth and singing Kumbaya, listen, it's not in the word, it's not going to happen. John Lennon's Imagine. How many of you remember that song from back in the day, all you long-haired hippie Beatle fans? Listen, that song's a fairy tale, somebody. So if any church, if any congregation, if any pastor, if any Christian is walking in lockstep with the world, the Bible says, listen, they are none of Christ. I don't care what color robe they wear. I don't care what color collar they throw around their neck or what title or phrase they put in front of their name. Now listen, I'm not here today to indict any particular congregation. I'm not here to indict any denomination or pastor, but I'm here to tell somebody that we are living in the days that are prophesied, which speak of the great apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, you can go read this later. The Bible says there'll be a great apostasia, a great falling away, a great division that's going to come to the church. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3:4, there's perilous times that are going to come to the church. There will be doctrines of demons that are going to be taught in the church. Come on, these are all prophetic words, saints of God, that we're watching come into time today. We see in Matthew 24, Jesus himself said, many false prophets, many false teachers will arise in the last days. We are living, listen, in the day of deception, delusion, and division. They are upon us today. These are just some of the time markers that the Bible gives us. Let me hop right in your pew for a minute. Don't get uncomfortable. Stay there. Don't move. Don't pull one of these. If you're watching by this video, let me hop in your family room there for a minute. If you are a professing believer, listen. And there is no difference in your lifestyle than that of someone living in the world. Houston, we got a problem. You better take some personal inventory. If your life looks like a duck, smells like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. Amen or ouch. You need to either get right or get left. Come on, somebody. Watch what James chapter 4 says. Verses 4 and 5. It says, you adulterous people. You adulterous people. The Greek is moikos. It means you covenant breaker. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses, it's a choice that we make. Whoever chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Listen, Judah, there is a large segment of people in the current world culture that have a deep-seated hatred towards Jesus Christ. A few years ago, there was a place kicker for those of you who follow the NFL. His name was Harrison Butker from Kansas City. He expressed his views during a commencement speech at a Catholic college. He was invited after they won the Super Bowl. He was invited to speak there, give a commencement speech. And he expressed his views during the speech. And he stated how he believes in a traditional biblical marriage. How many of you believe in that? A traditional biblical marriage. And listen closely what he says. If a woman chooses to stay home and raise her children, it's okay. You would have thought he lit women on fire. You need to be home and barefoot and pregnant. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. But listen, if you have the opportunity, ladies, to be home with your children and raise your children, and your husband is able to, thank God for that. Last month, a woman by the name of Sarah Morse, 66-year-old teacher, was fired. Why? Because her students asked her opinion about abortion. And she gave her opinion, and she thought it was wrong, and she was fired. So where's DEI? Where's the inclusive? Or why isn't she included? I guess you're not included if you have that position. Listen, saints of God, I said that to say this hatred is on the rise. There is a level of vitriol for God and specifically for Jesus Christ like never before. The contempt is palpable. And because they hate Jesus, listen, if you're a true follower of him, they will hate you as well. Jesus said in 15:18, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. So unity is very precarious. Today we're talking about unity in the church. We're talking about unity in the spirit. We're not talking about unity at work or at school or your sports team. We need it there as well. But let me say this. The Church of Jesus Christ is not all-inclusive. We are not the big tent. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. Why? Because there are not several messages. There's one message. It's the gospel. Hallelujah. There's not several saviors. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. There are not several lords. There's one Lord. Come on, somebody. His name is Jesus. Watch what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Let me pause just there for one hot second. That little phrase there has the connotation of a child coming through the birth canal in a childbirth. How many of you know that's painful? It's narrow. How many of you know it's difficult? Come on, y'all. That's what this is talking about. He says, it's difficult is the way, narrow and difficult, but that's the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So, Many are going by the broad gate of the world, and very, very, very few come through the narrow gate called Jesus Christ. Saints of God, listen, we are, as true believers in Jesus, we are the minority of the minority of the minority. Very small percentage throughout the world are born again believers who are following Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about Christian in name only. I'm talking about true believers in Jesus Christ. So broad is the gate of the world, but very few come through the narrow gate. This does not mean that we don't welcome everybody. How many of you know we welcome everybody? Everybody's welcome. Come as you are, but hopefully, listen, my friend, you won't stay as you are. Yeah. Hopefully, you won't leave the same as you came in. So we welcome LGBTQA1+. We welcome the gay, the straight, the queer. We welcome the drunk. We welcome the drug addict. We welcome the liar, the cheat, the rapist. You're all welcome in this house. Don't look at me cross-eyed, saints of God. Watch this. Come on now. 1 Corinthians 6. And such, were some of you. Such were some of you. We got drunks in here. We got former addicts in here. We got former adulterers in here. Come on, church, talk to me, somebody. We got former liars in here. There's former thieves in this house. There's people in here that have been involved in abortions, both men and women in the house. And such were some of you. Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the living God. Somebody needs to give our God some praise in this house. Hey, it's a beautiful thing to be set free. Not only is there no more guilt, there's no more shame. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And because whom the Son sets free. Come on, is there anybody free in this house? My God. So wherever you come from, you're welcome here. Hopefully you'll hear the truth. And you'll be set free from your sin and washed by the blood of the Lamb and inherit eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Pastor Michael will be right back with today's message. If you would like to hear or watch other messages by Pastor Michael on your computer or electronic device, or learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at www.judahministries.net and click on Go Beyond. Now let's get back to today's message.
So Jesus divides saints of God. I know we like that kumbaya thing all coming together, but watch. Jesus did not come to unite the world. He came to divide it. It's in the words. Jesus never said that he came to bring peace. On the contrary, watch this next scripture, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 36. This is Jesus. He says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace." How about that from Jesus? "But I've come to bring a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Now listen, Jesus didn't come to break up homes. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's not what he is saying here. But he did not come to bring peace, but he came to bring division. He came to bring a sword. It's called the separation of the goats and the sheep. It's called the separation of the wheat and the tares. It's called the separation of the saints and the ain'ts. It's called the separation of the unbeliever and the true believer. In some cultures, if you decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ, your own family will kill you. They call it an honor killing. So Jesus Christ, my friends, is the dividing line. You're either with me or you're against me. Jesus makes it very, very stark. Well, Pastor, what about all the Christmas songs that we sing about Jesus and peace on earth and goodwill to men? Isn't that in the Bible? I knew you were going to ask that question, and the answer is yes, it is. It's found in Luke chapter 2. But remember, we read our Bible in context, because if we leave out some of the text, you get stuck with the con. So that's not what that's talking about. The peace and the goodwill that Jesus came to give were to those who would believe in him, those who would receive him, those who would follow him, those who would love him, not his haters. Is there anybody in this house today that has received the shalom? You've received the peace of God today through Jesus Christ. Because why? You're in love with him because you've decided to follow Jesus and obey him. And now you have the peace that passes all understanding. Come on, do I got a witness in his house? However, even in the midst of this current chaos, we can have unity in the church. We can still have unity here. The world is trying to divide us. The devils are trying to divide us. Politicians are trying to divide us. Once again, here in Judah, it's a part of our DNA. It's a part of our mission. It's right on your bulletin if you get a bulletin when you come in. Throw that scripture up there, Caleb. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Watch, here's what it says. All this is from God, who what? Reconciled us to himself through Christ. So first of all, we're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And what else did he do? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him, and he has committed to us, here it is, the message of reconciliation. So we are called, saints of God, to reconcile people. But first and foremost, we must be reconciled to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen in there. Amen. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. It can include racial reconciliation. It can include political reconciliation. It can include cultural reconciliation. But listen, without reconciling one to God, the rest is of very little or of any value. We can reconcile racially, we can reconcile politically, but without reconciliation to Jesus Christ, we all go to hell. Doesn't matter where you come from. So we're talking about unity in the church. Paul, throughout the New Testament, spoke about it. Jesus, in John chapter 17, three times he mentions in his final prayer, just before he goes to the cross, he prays, Father, let them be one, even as you and I are one. Father, even he was praying for the apostles and the disciples. He said, even through their message, those who hear the message, which is us, Jesus was praying for us. He said, Father, let them be one, even as you and I are one. Then he goes on to say down, I think it's verse 22 or 23 in John chapter 17, he gives us the reason why. He says, so that the world may know that I was sent into this world. What Jesus is saying, they're not going to know Jesus by our building. They're not going to know Jesus by how well a preacher preaches. They're not going to know Jesus by how well you sing or what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in. He's going to know us by our love one for another. John chapter 13:35 says, by this. Somebody say, by this. By the love you have one for another, people will know that you're my disciples. We're talking about unity in the body of Christ. Our love, church, one for another, preaches to a lost world. Yes. My God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So here in our house, here are our unity guidelines. I'm defining unity for you as we define it in the house of the Lord here at Judah. Throw that slide up there, Cade. First of all, in unity,
or in the essentials, we have to have essentials in unity. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe that Jesus is God incarnate, that he was born of a virgin, that he was crucified, that he died and he rose again. And we must believe, these are essential beliefs, that only in his blood and in his atonement of his atonement for our sin. We believe in sola fide, faith alone, gratia, sola gratia, grace alone, sola Christo, Christ alone, sola scriptura, meaning scriptures alone. That we have to have those essentials as a fellowship to have unity. Are you hearing me? Somebody say amen. But in the non-essentials, doctrines, we give grace. In other words, water baptism, whether you sprinkle water or you get dunked in a river, it's all okay. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We give grace on secondary issues such as speaking in tongues. Whether you speak in tongues or you don't speak in tongues, we give grace. Amen.
Amen.
I always say, listen, if you do not speak in tongues, I'm not offended, please. But don't be offended if I do.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We can differ on pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation. We can differ on once saved, always saved, where you can lose your salvation. Listen, and we can disagree on all these things. And if you don't agree with all my positions on all these doctrines, it's okay. You have the complete right to be wrong. Thank you, Jesus. But here it is, watch. Essentials, we have unity. Non-essentials, we give grace. But in all things, come on somebody, we love. Whether you're an atheist, a Muslim, a Hindu, whether you struggle with drug addiction, alcoholism, gender identity issues, we love you. So in laying out these guidelines, we must be careful who we unify with spiritually. But there is no way that we can unify with the world. The Bible says, come out and be ye separate. We can and we should love them if we want to be like our daddy. Because our daddy so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever covers the spectrum, whosoever would believe would inherit eternal life. So we must love the world enough to speak truth in love to them.
Yes.
We're speaking about unity in the church. We can't just hitch our wagon to every train that comes down the track. We can't unite ourselves with every fellowship that calls itself Christian. Now listen, please let me make myself clear. I'm not promoting isolationism, because that becomes cultic. I'm not preaching that. But listen, saints of God, we can't unite with a Christian fellowship who teaches universalism, meaning everybody goes to heaven. The Church of Oprah, come on. We can't unite with a church that teaches annihilism. In other words, once you die, you just evaporate. You don't exist anymore. We can't unite with churches that teach liberation theology. I don't care if it's Latin liberation theology or black liberation theology or feminist liberation theology. We can't do it, somebody. Because these are heresies that are being taught today in the church. Listen, Jesus didn't come as a social justice warrior. He came as the Lamb of God to be slain for our sin, that everyone has equal. He didn't come that everyone would have equal income and equal assets. He came to die for our sin, somebody, thank God. We can't unite with Mormons. Seventh-day Adventists, no unity there. Jehovah's Witness, we can't unify. We can't unify with those who don't believe that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, and it's only by his blood that we are redeemed. Come on, y'all, that's a deal breaker. We can't unite with fellowships that endorse homosexual marriages. We can't unite with a church that has a gay pastor. Come on, are you hearing me, somebody in the house?
Pianist.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
We can't unite with churches that have gay parent child raising conferences. Or drag queen Bible story hour. Are you kidding me? We can't unite, listen, with the Catholic Church or any other Protestant church that teaches this anti-Semitic doctrine called supersessionism or replacement theology. Come on, somebody in the house. God is not done with Israel. Read your Bible, Romans chapter 9 through 11. It's very plain. Now, church, listen, don't be deceived, because there's a lot of fake information out there. There's a lot of fake societal unity in this world today under the banner of the New World Order. Some of you might be familiar with the name George Soros or Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, John Kerry, and some of these other technocrats. On the spiritual side, you have organizations such as the World Peace Federation, formerly known as the Unification Church, formerly known as the Moonies. How many of you remember the Moonies from back in the day? It's the same spirit carried on with Sun Myung Moon, who passed away, but now his wife Hak Ja Hun Moon is carrying on the organization today. They considered themselves to be the parents of God. But here are some names that you may know that who have locked arms with them, and it was part of their program. They have worship leader Hezekiah Walker locking up with them. They have Noel Jones on their platform. Listen, they had Newt Gingrich with them. They had Mike Pence, former vice president of the United States, propagating this movement under the banner of spiritual unity. It's called ecumenicalism. I'm stepping on everybody's toes here this morning. I hope y'all don't mind. Listen, these organizations are propagated by Satan himself. If y'all remember our teaching here from Revelation chapter 6 in the white horse, you could go look it up on YouTube. There's a false peace coming with this white horse, and it will be birthed out of world chaos. The world is craving for a world leader that will bring peace and unity. They're looking for a Mr. Fix-It. This will be the rise of the Antichrist and the one world government and the one world currency and the one world church that we studied when we looked at Revelation chapter 13. It's coming, saints of God. So I said all that to say, listen, we need to learn to discern. Let me wrap it up. The airwaves are full of voices. Full of voices. The Bible states that the devil is the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2 and 2. Meaning, the video that we watch, the sound, the voices that we listen to traveling are all airwaves. That is the devil's domain. Are you hearing me? So learn to listen to what people say. Listen closely. Judah, pay attention. Listen and watch through biblical ears and watch through prophetic eyes. Find yourself some trusted voices out there. There are trusted voices out there. You have to look, but they're out there. You need to ask, are they coming from a biblical point of view, or are they just repeating some political talking points and stoking your emotions? Now, I am not opposed to listening to different points of view. As a matter of fact, I like it. I like debate. So you don't need to sit in an echo chamber and listen to everything that you agree with. That's not healthy. Don't go lock yourself in an echo chamber. Just listen to what you listen to a different point of view. Somebody, sharpen your. That's how you sharpen your sword. That's you know, that's how you grow. Learn to defend your position. Listen to some dissenting voices. Watch some debates, but learn to discern through the Word of God, not your culture.
Help me with an amen in there. So, and I'm going to wrap it up right here. To discern through the Word of God, you need to study the Word of God. Throw up Hebrews chapter 4 here for me, Caleb. Why? Here, watch. Because the Word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. And watch this. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, when we run things through that filter, the Word of God discerns our motives, our desires, our selfishness, our wants, our needs. We go through our own. The Word of God will discern it. So let's continue as a body of Christ, as believers, to study and stay on the right track. Let's continue to pray that we would have a spirit of discernment, and let's continue to make every effort to keep the unity of the faith through the bond of peace. Throw up my last scripture here, Caleb. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Come on, has anybody received a calling in this house? Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble. Be completely gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. I'm going to say that one again. Bearing one another in love. Here it is. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? There is one body. Come on, somebody in the house. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, there is one Lord. Come on, somebody shout, one Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah. Come on, stand to your feet. Put your hands together. Give our God a great big praise in here. Hallelujah.
To proclaim the gospel.